still mandatory and contractualized plan global capitalism has for the climate crisis is collapse. The scenario is the most dire ever. Not only the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere is at its highest for millions of years, temperatures keep pushing closer to 1.5 degrees Celsius, and emissions are rising once again after the COVID hiatus. The IPCC scientists have leaked the second draft of Group 2 report, which states that estimates of committed CO2 emissions from current fossil energy infrastructure are 658 GTCO2, nearly double the remaining carbon budget, revealing that others, scientists, stress that climate change is caused by industrial development and more specifically the character of social and economic development produced by the nature of the capitalist society, which they therefore view as ultimately unsustainable. In a few months, we will understand the level of political and business editing in the final report that finally comes out. Yet current infrastructure is not enough for global capitalism. In the Drill Baby Drill report, made public by the Glasgow Agreement at COP26 Coalition's People Summit, a still bigger measure of incoherence appears. There are 816 new oil and gas wells being planned and drilled until the end of the year and in 2022. These are located in 76 countries all around the world, countries whose governments are currently sitting in the halls of COP26 in Glasgow to negotiate a solution for the climate crisis. The host UK appears close to the top of desired new wells, with 36 mostly offshore in the basins of Central Graben, Moray Firth, and North Sea and Shetland. It is very likely that while Boris Johnson was doing his James Bond gag on stage, at least some 4 wells were being drilled to add to British fossil fuel reserves, making him a sort of meta-Bond villain. The top of the ranking for most wells planned goes to Australia and Russia, with 80 wells each, closely followed by Mexico with 78. Australia, Russia, Mexico, Indonesia, USA, Norway, UK, Brazil, and Myanmar plan to drill over 500 oil and gas wells between now and the end of 2022. The report points out that this is very likely an underestimation. The companies most involved in drilling these wells are the gallery of the usual suspects: Eni, Petronas, Shell, Equinor, Total, Pemex, BP, Pertamina, Chevron, and ExxonMobil. There are at least 67 wells planned above the Arctic Polar Circle. Total and ExxonMobil are in a contest to drill the deepest well ever in the ocean. Total is going for 3,628 meters deep in Angola, and ExxonMobil is going for 3,800 meters deep in Brazil. Many of these companies are spending millions every year on propaganda for carbon neutrality and other false solutions, blocking real action and expanding their operations. The report also includes a sample of wells drilled in 2021 so far, with China on top, followed by Turkey, Russia, Norway, Indonesia, Mexico, Pakistan, Australia, and Egypt, the host for the next COP. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. It is the way this system operates. Just enough propaganda of ambition and techno fixes to keep fossils flowing as ever, while the climate collapses. The information does provide us with a question. If the on-climate change debate is framed by companies and governments around the terms of net zero, carbon credits, carbon taxes and offsettings, rather than stopping emissions, When will it ever come to the real problem of the climate crisis? Well, never. And that is the purpose. Governments and companies are actively engaged in not cutting emissions, but also in effectively increasing them. Each and every one of these wells is a public crime against humanity and all species on this planet advertised in advance. It is good that we know them, though, for it is better to know fossil capitalism's plans to collapse us beforehand and in as much detail as possible. And that is why the call on the report does not go out to governments and fossil companies to suddenly act after over three decades of expanding fossil use. The call goes out to the climate justice movement and civil society. Spread this information far and wide. Act on it. Campaign on it. Block, stop, and detain all of these projects. Other millions of fossil and fossil-based projects compose the menu of collapse daily, confirmed by governments and companies. They are the legally binding commitment for our collapse and need to be stopped. The overwhelming agreement on the reason why the climate crisis is not being fixed is becoming as high as the overwhelming scientific agreement on the cause of the climate crisis. The reason why the climate crisis is not being solved is because it will lead to the biggest shift in the power in the history of humanity. It will lead to the biggest transfer of wealth and loss of profit in history. That means very little to the majority of human population, as we will be the beneficiaries of this shift, of this transfer, of this redistribution. If we solve this crisis, we will have the chance to heal our battered planet. That is why their plan means collapse. They refuse to abdicate an inch of their brutal privilege and power. If we continue not acting against the real cause of the climate crisis, the capitalist mode of production and the capitalist worldview, they will take it as a social license to carry on with collapse. Even without social license, their plan will always lead to collapse. It's not circumstantial, it is the core of this system. We need to collapse them.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salamullah found in the book As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyya. Supplication number 8, verse number 1, vice or sin number 2. Imam As-Sajjad salamullah alayhi seeking refuge in Allah from Surat Al-Ghadab, when anger attacks and rages. We've been speaking about that for the past few episodes or more. Now, when it comes to anger, there are different examples of anger that we need to be aware of, especially the bad types. Where a person thinks he's angry for the right cause, but in fact he's not, which is quite a big problem if you think about it. One, having a delusional anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you flip the pages of history, you will see many people, many groups who went and fought for the sake of Allah and followed the guardians of Allah, even the ma'sumeen, and they think they are doing God a favor. They think they are fighting for the sake of Allah, but in fact they're not. Give example, Al-Khawarij, those who fought Amir al-Mu'mineen. They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were trying to prevent a war between the Muslims. And they said, La hukma illa lillah. There is no rule but for Allah. So Amir al-Mu'mineen and Muawiyah, they just couldn't, you know, call the truce and each go his way. They missed the point, right? They got angry for the sake of Allah, but it wasn't for the right purpose. And so they lost this world and they lost the hereafter. So you have to make sure that when you get angry for Allah, you do it for the right reasons. Now, let us take a short break and then we continue right after.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We were just saying that sometimes a person has delusional anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he thinks he's doing the right thing, but he's not. We gave example of the Khawarij back in the day, and oh boy, do we have our Khawarij of today as well. Now look around you, how many groups we have under the name of Islam, under the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, no God but Allah and no Prophet but Messenger, and they are killing innocent people. ISIS, Daesh, Qaeda, Boko Haram, Nusra, the list goes on. Right? All these people are furious, angry for the sake of Allah, angry for the sake of religion. They're trying to establish an Islamic state and save humanity by killing it. Right? So we ask, is this anger really for the sake of Allah, or is it a delusional anger? Allah says in the Quran beautifully, do you want me to tell you who are the worst losers here? That they act and they work, but in fact they lose everything. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They misplaced, they went the wrong way. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسُنُونَ صَنَعًا. And that's the problem. They got misguided while they are thinking they are actually doing the right thing. Now, if you take someone from Daesh or ISIS, you say to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing something good for the sake of Allah. I'm trying to create an Islamic state. Isn't that what Allah wants in the Quran? that? You say, yes, my friend, but you missed the point. You missed the memo where you were meant to follow the Imam of your time. And trust me, it's not Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi either. So that's a problem. A person could, in fact, have a delusion when it comes to his anger that he puts it in the wrong place and he follows the wrong people. And then he ends up losing his world, as in, you know, he'd be misguided or he could even be killed, like all these people. And on a day of judgment, he will face the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to delusional anger, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be sure we are on the right track with the right people. So we have to make sure we know where we're putting our anger at. So that's one. The second one, we'll look at it right after the break.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are looking at examples of bad anger. The second one is the anger of the oppressive rulers. Now, the same thing, that we have so many rulers throughout history where the ruler thinks he is doing good. And mind you, the ruler could be even a judge, even an Islamic judge that rules. It doesn't have to be the king or the head king or the head of the state. It could be whoever is ruling. Some of these people who are in ruling powers, sometimes they get angry also for the wrong reasons. They think they are doing God's work and justice on earth, but in fact they causing more destruction, more harm. Example, Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, when they are being told, do not create mischief on earth. What do they say? قَالُوا, they said, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, surely we are the ones who are creating reform. Now, you look at, for example, a Saudia, they're killing Yemeni people, they're killing innocent children, men, women alike, and they say, well, we're trying to create reform. These people are out of control. They're killing people in Syria, for example, or in Iraq, or in Afghanistan, or whatever country that you see. And these people, when you ask them, they think they're doing good work. America, for example, their allies, they're all thinking that they're doing good work. They're trying to help get rid of terrorists by killing innocent people. So you see how this anger that they have is not directed in the right place. When a person gets killed from them, they get enraged, not angry anymore. But it's okay for them to kill other people because they think they are doing God's work. These ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has prepared a punishment for them and their allies and their supporters and whoever agrees with them. Whoever agrees with America, for example, with the Saudis, or with any tyrannic government that they think they're doing good work, and they taking, you know, they have this anger for the sake of humanity, then they will be punished severely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you for listening, and inshallah we'll see you in other episodes of The Bridge. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and let us ponder on what the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, has bequeathed to us of his wonderful sayings. Avoid begging people as long as you can endure, for every day has a new goodness. Insisting on asking others deprives one of his dignity, except when a door may be opened to you for a good entrance.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
From a grey and gloomy look to a cheery and colourful appearance. That's the story of how a neighbourhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing colour and joy to this hilly neighbourhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terry was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a post-case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to four cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing two birds with one stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbuk Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back to millennia. Archaeologists have recovered six bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know? Because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list. the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well, and that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft named a rowboat is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. Everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special
from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam.
وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد.
Today, Friday, is the 6th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Quran and listen to chapter Yusuf, verses 7 to 8.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين.
Certainly were there in Joseph and his brothers signs for those who ask, such as
إذ قالوا ليوسف وأخوه أحب إلى أبينا من إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين.
When they said, Joseph and his brother are more beloved to our father than we, while we are a clan. Indeed, our father is in clear error.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Many of those who are at comparatively lower rungs of position and rank in society try to degrade those who rank higher in society in order to compensate for their own shortcomings. There are differences between the words discrimination and differentiation. The former implies attaching importance to someone over others for no justified reason, and the latter refuse to distinguishing on the basis of one's abilities and conditions. For example, a physician's prescriptions or a teacher's mark differ since they must vary in accordance with the rules, which are not of an oppressive nature. However, Prophet Yusuf's brothers considered Yaqub's love as one that had no good reason.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're speaking about jealousy in the view of Islam. A jealous person is affected more than the person whom he is jealous of. Jealousy not only spoils the peace of mind, but it also weakens the faith in Allah. Because when a person gets jealous to another person, he thinks that Allah has not fared enough with him, though he does not know what blessings Allah has given to each servant, and indeed Allah does justice better than anybody can think of. Jealousy or hasad in Arabic is not only discouraged in Islam, but the following hadith states clearly that the jealousy factors burns all the good deeds of a person. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, "Beware of jealousy, for verily destroys good deeds the way fire destroys wood."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in.
One of the abominable characteristics, or immoral characteristics, is jealousy. Now we find that another cure for jealousy is that the jealous person should start praying in favor of the person to whom he feels jealous. At the same time, we find that those people who feel jealous about others have forgotten the divine favors upon themselves. Okay? The first thing is that this person should spend just some moments and think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given him or her. And this kind of grace, this kind of asset may not be available in someone else. Okay. At the same time, we find that those people who are very much who feel jealous about others, they seldom, if ever, they seldom enjoy any social recognition by others, because other people understand that they feel jealous about some other people. And at the same time, we find that any person at any age may feel jealous about someone else. So there's no age limit, or it isn't age restricted. Okay? And at the same time, we find that according to Quranic usages, a jealous person always thinks about when and how another grace or another asset, which is attached to someone else, would be terminated. So a jealous person cannot see or cannot feel or cannot see the steel or cannot feel comfortable in view of someone else's having another kind of another asset or another kind of fortune, asset or convenience. Thank you.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling. I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying. Lord, I'm calling, I need your help. Astaghfirullah.
Let's look at the steps to overcoming envy. One step is being the best that you can be. Focus on an area of your life that needs improving, whether it's to become a better person, gossip less, give more, take more time to yourself, get a makeover, get a message, or learn a new skill. When you feel good about yourself, it's easier to be good to those around you. Confidence and self-esteem are at the core of success and happiness. Work on improving and increasing your self-esteem and self-confidence. Prophet Muhammad said, "The deeds of any one of you will not save you from the fire." The companion said, "Even you, O Allah's apostle?" He said, "No, even I will not be saved unless and until Allah bestows His mercy on me. Therefore, do good deeds properly, sincerely, and moderately, and worship Allah in the forenoon and in the afternoon and during a part of the night, and always adopt a middle, moderate, regular course whereby you will reach your target." We spoke about the steps on overcoming jealousy. Now, what are harmful effects of jealousy? Jealousy may lead to backbiting. When we are jealous of what we don't have, we can often resort to the most destructive sin, including backbiting, slander, and we're still not getting satisfied. The Prophet of Islam said, "If what you said about your brother is true, then you have backbitten him. If what you said about him is false, then you have slandered him. Slander is making a false statement. It is a major sin and deserves severe punishment. Allah, the Almighty, says in the Holy Quran, those who malign believing men and women undeservedly bear upon themselves the guilt of a slander and manifest sin. The Holy Quran, chapter 33, verse 58.
This person will become jealous of other people. Why? Because I think I'm the best. I think I should be the richest. I think all eyes should be on me. I think everyone should respect me and love me and honor me. The moment I see another person being honored, another person being respected, I come and I say, no, this person doesn't deserve to be respected. This person doesn't deserve to be honored. This person is not smart enough. We try to shut down other people that are rising stars. Why is that? This stems from arrogance. This stems from having too much pride, thinking that I'm better than everyone else. And as soon as I see someone rising, someone becoming at my level or going higher than me, I come and I try to shut that person down. This is a sign of jealousy. And it goes back to too much pride. Too much arrogance. And this is what Iblis did. Iblis tells Allah, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. I'm created from fire and he is created from soil, referring to Adam. And I am better than Adam. So don't expect me to bow to Adam. Iblis, even though he was a worshiper, even though he used to pray, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that one sajda, one prostration of Iblis lasted for 6,000 years. The angels thought that he was one of them. But then, Allah did not test Iblis with his worship. He could worship more than others. Allah tested him with his arrogance. And this is how some of us are tested. Every one of us is tested in a different way. And this is why you find some people, they pray, they fast, they go to Hajj, they do everything that they're supposed to do. But then the moment they're tested, they fall when it comes to arrogance. You go and you look at the kuffar. Allah mentions what the kuffar, the pagans, used to tell the prophets of Allah. Allah mentions this in Surah Yasin. They used to tell them, مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are human beings just like us. Because the prophet is coming, guiding them. The prophet is coming and showing them the way, telling them to follow the right path. They come and they tell the prophet, you're just like me. You're not better than me. Don't come and tell me what to do. Of course, the prophets never said we are better than people. They were coming and trying to guide them. They were showing them the way. But the arrogance of people came in the way. And you see that even Rasulullah, there were people that believed in Rasulullah. There were people that saw the miracles right in front of them from Rasulullah, from all of the other prophets. Not because they did not believe in Rasulullah. Not because they didn't agree to the miracles. But because of their arrogance.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.